Today on the Cooligans, we are joined by the one and only Landon Donovan, USMNT legend. Georgia's on the show to little catch up on a little bochinche.
Hey, a little chisme.
A little USMNT gossip. So we'll talk about all that and more with him.
And plus, we talk about the women's Euros are over. England wins it yet again. Plus, we talk about Messi and the All-Star game. Do we even need it anymore? If he don't like it, I don't like it. That and more today on the Cooligans. You know, I was supposed to go to Iowa this weekend because my mother-in-law is in the Senior Olympics.
That's right.
I did not do that because I spent a solid 8 to 9 hours at JFK.
Lovely airport.
Beautiful. I'm sorry, LaGuardia. I was in LaGuardia.
Even lovelier. They remodeled it. They did
it's a little bit closer. What a wonderful place to be. So the flight kept getting delayed. And then eventually, after they realized, well, they've eaten everything we have to offer in the Delta Lounge, why don't we go ahead and cancel this flight? Apparently, tons of flights were canceled.
It was not rain. Saturday?
Yeah, but it wasn't raining in New York. But apparently, everywhere else that a lot of flights were coming from, there was only two or three flights that were able to leave. So it was really frustrating. So we didn't get to go see my mother-in-law perform in the Senior Olympics.
Perform? Nice. I mean, it's...
Compete.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a...
Five, six, seven,
it's not a...
Like, what is she
it's
doing?
It's not a dance recital. Yeah.
Jazz hands at the Senior Olympics.
The Lindy Hop.
They don't take this shit seriously.
You're bringing it back, Grandma?
She's doing the twist. She's out there doing all the old dances. No, she did compete, and she did very well. She did not
She's a swimmer.
Yeah, she is a swimmer. Mm-hmm. She didn't place. But... They were driving
back.
Does
it feel okay? Does it feel comfortable to be a part of such a losing family?
Honestly?
Alexis, what is
honestly, you know when they say trying and giving your best? It's not true. No. That's not what it's all about. Win or you're out of the family, Grandma.
We need some steaks.
Yeah, dog. Her and her husband, they're driving back, right? They took the time to say, let's see the country. So they drove out to Iowa and they're driving back. My wife yesterday goes, why don't you call my mother and see how the drive's going?
Sure.
And talk to her about the Olympics and all that. So I call. I don't know if you know this. So my father-in-law is a plumber, right? He used to have a big plumbing business. Now he just does small jobs here and there because he's a lot older. Mm-hmm. So the phone number for the business is his cell phone.
Gotcha.
He switched it from a landline to a cell phone years ago. But he doesn't have caller ID when you call the business number. He has like two phones,
sure.
Right? So you can call a cell phone or you can call the business number. For some reason, because the business number, I guess, is forwarded, he doesn't get caller ID. I didn't realize this. So when I called, he goes, you know, whatever, John's Plumbing.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize he doesn't know who I am.
Right.
He doesn't know it's his son-in-law. So I go, hey, I need two boilers. Now, here's the thing. Everyone he does business for is an older person from Jersey City or Hoboken or Secaucus. So they all sound exactly like this.
This is not a strange voice.
No, this is not. Exact.
He has no reason to think that this is
a
prank call at all.
If you call, like, you know, a Subway sandwich shop in Iowa and you go, hey, I need two sandwiches.
Hey,
they'll be like, all right, enough with the prank.
Okay, Mr. New Jersey.
Yeah. But if you say that to my father-in-law, he's immediately goes, who's this?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's interested.
Ralph, I haven't heard from you in years.
So I said, it's Jimmy, right? Because I'm like, I'm on the fly here, right? I'm freestyling. And he goes, oh, wait, Jimmy who? And I go, now my wife can hear me. I'm on speakerphone.
Right.
I go, you know, the one with the big sweaty asshole.
The big what asshole?
The big sweaty asshole.
Sweaty asshole. Right, yeah.
It makes no sense whatsoever. One, why would that be a way he knows you? And two, how is that a way you depict yourself?
Right.
He goes, wait, I muted myself because I'm dying of laughter. And he goes, wait, which Jimmy? That's a potential. He's like, Jimmy with the big sweaty asshole.
Not, because I know Jimmy with the dry asshole.
I know one with a small sweaty asshole, but big sweaty asshole that seems to not hit the. So anyway, my wife, he knew it was us because Donna in the back goes, the fuck did you just say to my father? I'm dying of laughter. I'm laughing so hard. And you know, again, they've known me for years. You know what he did? He goes, hold on, I'm going to put you on speakerphone. Say it again so that his wife can hear it.
Everybody got to hear this.
Everyone got to hear the genius joke.
Not a surprising Alexisism, anecdote.
I feel like this is dead center.
It's funny because we were at the at Classic Football Shirts.
Yes, we were.
You were hosting the Premier League Summer Series.
What a great job they did with that event.
So fun. But... two or three of the employees there, we were leaving, I was mentioning, I'm saying goodbye, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm the other guy from the Cooligans, and like three of them were like, how do you deal with him? So this perfectly encapsulates, and they knew you for like 20 minutes. You know?
No, I've hung out there quite a few times, but yes. How do you deal with me?
Exactly. We will never
Alexis
know.
Alexis with the big sweaty ass.
Hey, we got a YouTube title, everybody.
There it is.
Anyway.
At least I know what I'm calling my special. My special place.
Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. Welcome. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
As always, we out here on Sports. Per usual, back again, and we have, speaking of big sweaty assholes, please cut that out.
Yeah. All right, but keep the laugh room because I want people to know something got cut out of this.
No.
But if you listen to the audio, you'll know what we said.
We have someone who is not that at all.
Yeah, yeah.
The one and only legend of the U.S. men's national team, still tied for most goals alongside Clint Dempsey, but please stop the hitting.
Land the name already.
Landon Donovan is joining us today to talk all the drama of the USMNT, everything going on with U.S. soccer. So a lot going on.
Donovan is on the show.
Exactly. And we're going to talk some women's.
You heard of him?
Okay. Oh. From the Unfiltered podcast.
Yeah.
Unfiltered Soccer. So go check that out. But we're going to talk.
Jürgen Klinsmann's favorite podcast.
So we're gonna talk women's Euros, and we also have some MLS stories and some Premier League stuff to go over. But let's get right to it because we spoke to Landon Donovan
LD
to just a couple days ago, and caught up because he's been in the news, and it's not for scoring goals against Algeria.
He's putting himself in the news.
He's like, I'm gonna be the story.
What you need to hear from me to put me at the top of your trending.
So yeah, we got you know, your favorite podcaster, Landon Donovan, and we're talking to him right now. Let's get right to it.
I mean, legends only on this show, bro.
Look, and he's making his return. He was on the show, I believe, 3 or 4 years ago.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So much has changed.
So much has changed. He went from competing on the pitch to now competing with us as podcasters.
Well, he saw our show and said, if these two dummies could do it, so can I. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Landon Donovan, everybody.
Lando, Landy. What's your nickname?
Don people, Man.
Don, what's, do anybody, does lot. Anybody call you something else besides Landon?
Usually LD.
LD.
LD, okay, let's go.
Right, which is Spanish for the D. You make up with that what you want. You know? you use that however you want on the internet.
Landon, thank you so much for joining us, man.
My pleasure.
I know it's been a while, and we got to get right into it because now that you have joined our space, now you are in... in this octagon that is podcasting with Unfiltered, you and Tim Howard, two legends, joining forces to do a show. But you guys are not short on controversy already. I love it, bro. You guys are just going.
You're speaking your mind.
So let's get right to it. The Pulisic family, how are y'all doing? Are you communicating? Because this was a big part.
The WhatsApp group going crazy?
This was a big part of our show. We were talking about it. And so when it comes to my question about it is, when, as a player who dealt with a lot of criticism, how do you manage giving that criticism while also thinking about how you dealt with that criticism and how it made you feel? So how are you balancing both of those?
It's a great question. It is a fine line as a former player. There's sort of this gray area where you can podcast or be in media or whatever and basically say nothing, right? You can say, oh, you know, I understand, and maybe I wouldn't have done it that way, but I understand that he wanted to do that. And you can kind of, or you can go over the top up here and just be kind of obnoxious. And you know, we have enough information on all these things that.
Alexi Lawless. Okay. Yes.
You could really.
Sorry, you got a cough.
You could really.
Let him.
It's allergies.
Wait, is it coming back? Are you feeling it again?
I'm better. Well, I'm better than really,
it's his right. It's his right lung.
Right. Okay. So you could really go after people if you wanted, right? And we choose to find the area where, and it is a bit of an art, where we want to be honest first and foremost. And I'm always going to be honest because I think it's important. I think it's people want to hear. People don't have to agree with it. They don't have to like it. But they know that I'm not saying something just to say it. And they know that I'm not just going to sit on the fence, right? So that's sort of the angle and approach Tim and I have both taken. But it is a hard line to toe because now at this point, we'll never have Christian on our podcast, right? So by being honest, yeah, that's something you learn, or that's something you have to deal with. But to us, we talked about this, like you make a calculated decision and you decide what you want to be. And I think for us, being honest about how we feel is the most important thing to do. But it is challenging.
Yeah. And you know, the way people take the narrative almost away from you and what you said, and it almost feels like post after post after post, certain words just start to leave and you're like, well, that's not what I said at all. But like that narrative gets away from you. One of the narratives that kind of involved you a little bit was during the Gold Cup, as we learned more about it and we started to see that, okay, Christian Pulisic and Mauricio Pochettino weren't necessarily seeing eye to eye about Christian Pulisic's absence from the team during the Gold Cup. And a lot of times people used your, you know, sabbatical and time away from the national team as a reference point to that. It feels like those were very different set of circumstances. Did that upset you at all? Did that piss you off?
No, it doesn't piss me off. And just to be clear, by the way, I like Christian. I haven't spent time with, you know, Jedi Robinson. I haven't spent time with some of the guys who, Musa, right? But I like these are nice kids and they're likable. I'm giving my opinion based on all the years that I have played, right? And what I think is best for a national team player and one of the leaders or some of the leaders of the team. It doesn't mean it's right. It doesn't mean people have to like it. To be very clear vis-a-vis Christian, I am never critiquing him taking a break. He's played a lot of soccer in the last few years. My critique is who he chose to take the break from. And the same with Jedi Robinson. They both, at the end of their seasons, with Fulham and AC Milan respectively, could have taken the last 2 or 3 weeks off when their team was not going up, not going down, had nothing to play for. Instead, they chose to keep playing, and then take 3 or 4 weeks off during the summer with their national team. So my beef was not with them taking a break. They all deserve a break. It's that they didn't prioritize their national team a year ahead of a World Cup at home. And I would not have done that. I did not agree with that. And I'm going to say that. Now, they live their lives. I said multiple times, if there is more context or something I am missing here, or there's a mental health issue or some issue in the family or something going on, I will say I was wrong. I will say I take it back. But guess what? That never happened, right? So they just wanted to take a break and they prioritized their club teams over their national team. That's fine. That's their choice. That's their decision. I would not have done that.
Okay, I respect it,
yeah,
and I appreciate the clarity because you, especially to them, and I'm sure they've voiced this to you as well. You are their hero, right? I mean, I'm sure they've said very positive things about you or the inspiration that you've given them. But I like this Landon Donovan because I think you are officially reaching Unk status.
He is Unk for sure.
You are Unk. You are given the advice necessary.
Are you familiar with what Unk is?
Unk status?
Do I want to know?
Okay. Unk is the stage after, you know, Young Buck, if you will. You become Unk, which is like, I'm giving advice, but I'm close enough to you to say it with the same way you would understand it. And then after that, you become an old head. You become an OG. So it's like that little, that purgatory you're, before you can just be the old man yelling at the camera.
Understood.
Because you're not old.
You're not old.
But you're relatable. You're in an age and you're relatable enough and you give it to everybody clearly.
You're like, I was just there.
I knew why. I know what you've gone
the
through.
The only difference is my L5S1 is messed up.
You know? No, man. No, that's you know, I appreciate that. Again, like, I appreciate the clarity. I want to also talk about the video that you just posted, I believe yesterday, about Lionel Messi missing the All-Star game or skipping out on the All-Star game. And you told a great anecdote about David Beckham and your appreciation for what he did back then and how important he was to the league and how important he felt he was to the league. So it's obviously, you know, Messi and David Beckham are as incredibly impactful as David Beckham was. Messi's on another stratosphere, right? We all understand that. And it feels like he gets a leeway because he is just a once in a lifetime athlete and footballer. Uh-huh. But what do you think? So you ended the video saying it'll be interesting to see what MLS does, whether they suspend him this weekend or not. And I think this will be a defining moment for Major League Soccer when they determine what they are going to do. What do you, if you had to guess, where do you think they end up? What do you think that they do with this?
So let me first walk through why I think these things are so important. Okay, so today I'm in East LA. I grew up in Southern California. I'm in East LA today. Real Madrid and Abbott, who are a global health leader, are putting on this event to inspire kids and give them an opportunity to take this once-in-a-lifetime trip to Madrid, okay? And I realize that's Messi's old rival. But when you speak to these kids and you look in their eyes, they are so fanatical about players that they idolize. And one young man I asked him, and ironically, who his favorite player was, he said Cristiano. And I was talking to him about taking care of his body and health. And he said to me, well, Cristiano's my favorite player. He's still playing at 40. And I said, exactly. He takes care of himself so that at 40 years old, he's still inspiring you. He's almost as old as I am, Cristiano. And he's on a field playing every week, inspiring. To take it to Lionel Messi. So I think he understands how people idolize him. From the MLS standpoint, I cannot overstate how important he has been to the league. But these events are so crucial for the league. They're so crucial because eyeballs are watching, new eyeballs are watching who would never watch. All these sponsors pay tons of money. Tons of fans are coming out. People who idolize him want to see him. And what I was saying in the video is that David Beckham understood all that at a really high level. And he did things. I've told one story yesterday. There are stories, you guys, if I told you, you literally wouldn't believe what he did in order to play in a soccer game. You wouldn't believe it. And so I'm not saying Messi doesn't do that, but these moments are so crucial for the league. Now the league's in a really hard spot because you're trying to renegotiate his contract. You want him to stay in the league, so you don't want to piss him off. But you also understand the human side. He's played a lot of soccer. And so to answer your question directly, my guess is there will be some level of a valid enough excuse that allowed him to miss the All-Star game and not get suspended. Now, that being said, I can still see a scenario where he gets suspended for this weekend. I can. And I know a lot of people are like, there's no way he'll get suspended. I could see the league saying, we can't set that precedent and we're going to do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to do something, but also don't upset them.
It's one of those, like, you know,
when you were a kid, pow, pow. You right. know what I mean, like, you're not Latino, but your mom would do one of those. That's, you know, before the chancleta, just do a public pow, pow, you know?
just let them know that there's an authoritative figure here. Yeah. And
shoot them the eyes, like a Latina mom would just look at you. So I know you have to run, Landon. I want to thank you for taking the time. We do a quick game here, right? We do a game, it's called Pro Rel. So simply, we're going to make a statement. Assume we're making a statement that you've made. So you say pro if you agree, rel if you disagree. Sound good?
Is this a statement I made?
Yeah, so I'm going to make a statement.
No, we're going to make the statements.
Okay.
We're
going
to tell you. Yeah, you didn't make these statements. Just assume whether you agree with the statement or not. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's an easy one. Pizza is better in Los Angeles than it is in New York.
Real.
Exactly. All right, good. You're on point. Good, because we would have shut this thing down if you would have said real. All right, Landon, I'll go first. Messi will have more of an impact on MLS than David Beckham did.
Rel, because David also became an owner and is deeply tied to the league.
Okay, very cool. By the way, you don't even have to explain yourself, but I like
it. I know, but I want to because I don't want the headlines.
I love it. I love it.
Right, because we would have remixed that to make it look real bad. Exactly. Good thing you did, you know?
Okay, next up. Getting criticized as a podcaster is more vicious than getting criticized as a player.
Pro.
Ooh. See what we deal with, everybody? But, I'm telling you, we could have taken the easy way out and learned to play.
Social media didn't exist when I played, so that's
good
why.
Point.
That's fair. Okay. Good
point. All right, you might be hitting old guy status instead of unk if you keep saying that.
Hey, what's your MySpace account, Landon?
I got one for you. Landon Donovan should have gotten a turkey years ago, and I'm not talking about the league.
Well, I wouldn't say gone to Turkey, but pro, I should have done something about it.
All right. The guy can talk about it.
All right. Next up. Landon Donovan is tired of people talking to him about his goal against Algeria.
Ral. I love
it. Yeah, talk about it forever, dude.
Okay, good. Because I did the same thing. And I'm glad I didn't annoy you.
All right. And then this is my last one. I think you got one more. Mm-hmm. The way the San Diego MLS team was decided pissed you off.
The way it was decided?
Uh-huh.
Bro, not the way it was decided, no.
Okay, that's fair. All right, and last one. The Pulisic family will invite you for Thanksgiving this year.
Ralph.
Hey, we won't be there either. I'll see you in the parking lot. I'll see you in the driveway, buddy.
Landon Donovan, thank you so much for taking the time. We always appreciate it.
And thank you to Habit Dream Team and everything that's going on over there. We're from really bad neighborhoods, and seeing that people are doing this, trying to inspire the next generation of players coming from those neighborhoods, which didn't happen in our era, is a huge deal. So thank you.
Yeah, and just to add, like we were talking about Messi and the All-Star game, like we have posted a video of fans in Austin talking about why they were disappointed that Messi wasn't there. And as I'm watching the video, I'm like, hey, you know what? Like the adults, I'm like, all right, hey, bummer for you, but whatever. Then they had like a young kid. I'm like, oh my God, Messi's a heartless monster.
We need to hug this guy.
Why? I'm affected by it. So I agree with, hearing your story about David Beckham. I mean, not to say that, Beckham or Messi haven't done enough for the league. That isn't what we're saying. But there are these moments that are impactful and affect people in a particular way that it would have been nice to see a different outcome.
And
but
to capitalize on it as a sport.
Exactly. All right. Landon Donovan, thank you so much for taking the time. You're welcome on the Cooligans anytime. You're ever in New York, feel free to come by our studio, bro.
Yeah, say something controversial about us on your show. Let's get those numbers up, huh?
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
All right, take care, man. Out to Landon Donovan. Let's go.
What a legend.
All right. He's like, y'all, come, anytime we invite him on, he's like, yes, he can't say no to us.
Yeah, no, he loves it.
Okay. Yeah.
You know how his goal inspired you to be a bigger fan of the sport?
Sure.
Our podcast inspired him to start a podcast.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I'm glad we could give something back, Ryan, to Landon.
You bring us mediocrity and us getting involved, and now we bring you mediocrity.
So, yes. So shout out to Landon. Thank you again for doing that. But let's get to the women's Euros. England are back-to-back champions. They hold on to their title of the Euros. And nobody really saw this coming because they lost their first game of the group stage. And it just didn't seem very likely that this would be the eventual outcome.
Well, I mean, look at the stat that we have here. 4 minutes and 52 seconds. Do you know what that is?
Yes, that is.
Twice as long as you last. Anyway, that is.
Thank you, man.
Actually,
that's a good time.
2 minutes and 25 seconds ain't that bad, bro.
Yo, two minutes out here, you know?
Kids got nothing on the calendar, buddy.
It's called satisfaction. All right? Yo, it's called doing my best.
Damn, I have to put a ticker on the wall, dog. No, 4 minutes and 52 seconds is how long England led throughout the entire tournament.
Throughout the knockout stages.
The knockout stages. Is how long England led throughout the knockout stages.
Yes, which is, every game they basically had to come back from a deficit. They had to tie the game late. Adjiman, Chloe Kelly had to, subbed in and made were the differences in a lot of games. They won in penalties in some as well. But this, they sort of stumbled into this victory. It felt like they're Serena Wiegman was almost doing things so that they would not win, and then they found a way to do that.
This is the thing, right? How is it that seemingly making what a lot of fans and what a lot of people would consider the wrong decision or odd decisions, how did that lead to them winning?
Right.
It's so frustrating when you look at it from that
perspective. So Lauren James is dealing with an injury. But she, I believe, started every game.
Yeah, so she had an ankle injury, which you saw her kind of come out in the middle of the first half.
Towards the
end of the first half, I should say, in the final, where she seemingly immediately falls to the ground, is holding her ankle. No pain in her eyes. She just knew the ankle cannot keep going.
Right.
And so she'd been dealing with this injury. After the game, we find out that what player was it that was dealing with a fractured tibia?
Lucy Bronze.
Lucy Bronze was dealing with a fractured tibia.
And she's giggling about it after,
she's
holding
it away. That's crazy, isn't it?
So wild.
Yo, I ain't even got my leg, dog. Yo, it's wild to me.
It's dangling.
Yo, it's crazy. How'd they not win? She has it on her shoulder.
A big smile on her face.
That's crazy when you think about it. That they were sort of hodgepodge. Also, it's a little frustrating when you watch it and you're like, look at how electric the team plays, or the reaction is to having a Chloe Kelly or an Adjiman. You never really consider starting them. I know Chloe Kelly came in a lot earlier because of the Lauren James injury, but typically they would come in the second half, Adjiman coming in the second half. And they're...
And it worked, right? That's the thing.
Every
single time.
You wouldn't say to yourself, yo, we should do this first. This should be plan A.
We should be leading the game.
Especially when Shorty injured, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's. I can see the argument to, like, for Adjiman, maybe, Alessia Russo is too good to right. And Adjiman, she ended up winning Young Player of the
Alessia
Tournament.
Alessia Russo scored the goal, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
She's going to the final. She scored a few times in the tournament, but... I could understand the argument of, guys, she's just a veteran and she's good and she is producing. But for England to constantly be losing games and needing these like miracles in the end, I'm like, all right, you would have thought Serena Wiegman would have at least, hey, for the sake of it, let's try something else.
Let's try not needing, to make a state of comeback.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So they won. They lost to France in the opening game. But then the group stage, they looked sharp. They won 4-0 against Netherlands, 6-1 against Wales. The Netherlands result is probably the bigger shock. I mean, Netherlands, I thought that was going to be
right,
two powerhouses.
Right, you would expect that. 1-1, 2-2, something like that.
But the losing, especially in the semifinal, losing to 1-0 to Italy and, again, waiting till late and then winning in extra time. They were down 2-0 against Sweden. It's just wild that no changes were made, especially during these knockout stages.
Especially when there's injuries involved.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you say to yourself, well, if this player can't go, maybe they can give me 20 off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Lucy Bronze, maybe you put her in if you're up 1-0 and you absolutely need to lock it down. You know what I mean? Lauren James, a bad ankle. Maybe I can get 20 from her. The person coming in behind has been electric when she comes in, is clearly in great form, not injured at all. Let's start Chloe Kelly. And then if we absolutely need, if we're down 1-0 or something, you bring in Lauren James and hope the ankle can hold. Something of that nature. Not at all. It just seemingly went. And I guess at the end of the day, if you're Sabrina Wiegman, if you're a fan of England, you have to say to yourself, I kind of respect that she says, no, I'm trusting my 11. We're going to give it our best, and then we can make the adjustments if we need. And seemingly she won. But this goes counter to what you would expect a coach to do.
Sure. Yeah. It's something I was not necessarily it's not shock because I do think,
you know, the theory of like these are the 11 that got us here.
Right, right, right. There's a little like she was loyal to those players. Yeah, yeah. I think we're a couple games, especially the game against I think Italy or Sweden. Lauren Hemp, who plays for Manchester City. I thought she was some games. I'm like, she's bad. She's like not really having a good game.
Right.
And like tired and just like didn't really look like she had much left. And I'm like, why is she like still in this game? What is this? What does this bench look like that Wiegman is like, I'm not going to go to anybody else.
Who needs it?
So it's kind of remarkable that it all worked out. I mean, they won in penalties. Hannah Hampton, the goalkeeper, was...
Which, did I see this correctly? Hannah Hampton has no depth perception?
I have not seen this. You told me this.
Yeah, there was something that came up. Maybe we could look this up. But Hannah Hampton, we could probably...
If you're a goalkeeper
out.
And you don't have depth perception...
Hannah Hampton, vision impairment. Hannah Hampton, the England Lionesses goalkeeper, was born with a visual impairment called strabismus. Hope I said that correctly. Commonly known as cross or misaligned eyes. Okay, the word makes it look like I cross it when I look at it, which significantly affects her depth perception.
Ah, to be a goalkeeper, and I mean, you either
what an amazing hero story.
I mean, it's already difficult enough to be a goalkeeper, and if you can't tell how far the ball is away,
bro. Imagine, remember the plane that landed in the Hudson River and saved all those people's lives?
Yes, yes.
The Sully.
Sully. Yeah. Imagine Sully Sullenberger.
Imagine the cockpit opens and it's Stevie Wonder. That's the gap we're talking about. Right. The England goalkeeper has no depth perception. The one thing you need. Yeah, in order to be a goalkeeper?
It's a heroic story, but you also got to, you know, look back a bit and say, like, hey, why was he hired? I mean,
that feels dangerous.
I support DEI as much as the next person.
I'm not going to tell you can't have that job. I'm just going to say maybe not my flight. You know what I mean? Damn, Stevie.
You're like those NIMBYs, you know? but no, man. An impressive win, and you know, I don't think we are talking about probably Chloe Kelly enough. I thought
she'd be a NIMBY.
Backyard.
Ah, okay.
Not in my backyard. Yeah. Right. Anyway. But Chloe Kelly, I thought was fantastic. And a lot of times she came into the game and I thought she was the best player on the pitch.
She also has the most, maybe confidence is the wrong word, but she gives me like a bit of a Cole Palmer vibe where she's like, I don't really care what the score is. I'm gonna aggressively go.
Gives you the vibe that she doesn't read books.
Yeah, yeah, because it's not that. You know what I mean?
I know, I know.
She's not devoid of an idea.
Right, right, right.
Her idea is she's very focused on the goal of winning the game and scoring at any opportunity.
Yeah.
But it's almost like the game state doesn't matter to her. She comes in fifth just gear,
cold blooded.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Even she's a straight killer.
She was talking about her penalty after the game when she was asked about it, and she was just saying. Like I knew it was gonna go in. Like I wasn't worried. I wasn't nervous.
Can we
nervous.
Talk about the run up?
I mean, we spoke about this at the last Euros. We spoke about it at the World Cup.
It's crazy.
This is a. I mean, how much are we gonna talk about? It works. And when it comes,
is it for her or is it to affect the keeper?
I don't know. I think in the World Cup, her shot speed was the highest shot speed from a penalty.
Yeah, she got a boot on her.
Yeah, yeah. But so, but from that penalty, it's just she basically gets like a horse. You know what I mean? Like, and kicks off. So it works for her, and she blasts the ball.
I don't think the little knee up is what affects the.
I think it does because it's like a pitching mechanic, like a pitcher mechanic who they have. They have their motion, and that is what is. If it's,
yeah, but that doesn't lead to like the strength of the pitch.
That's incorrect because it's physiological. It's you have your range of motion, and you have the thing that you do that leads to that outcome.
Sure, I can. Yeah, but that you don't get more power on a kick because you knee up a little bit before three steps into a kick. You know what I mean?
I don't know. Well, pitchers kick their knee up. If pitchers didn't kick their knee up, you think they would be able to throw
as
hard? That's
to get the range. That's to get the step out. You know what I mean?
No, no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No,
you're stretching this way to go that way.
Because it is a like a transfer of force. You're almost transferring the force
from your leg and bringing up to the end of your fingertips. It's science,
that comes
dog.
But that comes from the back leg.
All right,
that
let's see. Let's have a picture.
Let's get Chloe on, bro. Actually, let's go to Chloe. She's calling me. Where is she? Oh, she's busy today? Okay. Right, never mind.
But no, man, this is overall, it's a little disappointing for Spain because they controlled a lot of the game. They looked, and pretty much every game throughout
the
tournament.
Let's just call it. They are a better team.
Without a doubt. But it's one of those, you know, the like tiki-taka and beautiful football, and then the English are like, no, bro, that's not what we do out here.
We're going to send it. We're going to yeet it to the other goal, bro.
Okay, we do yeety-taka, right? Yeah.
Because bro, our goalkeeper can't even see you right now.
Right?
She got a dog with her.
So she can't even tell how far the dog is away
from
her.
Damn, bro. She the dog barks where the ball's coming.
She has a 40-foot leash. The 40-foot leash threw me
off. It's
a
tiki-taka versus old.
Yes.
So Route 1-ish.
And I
because it wasn't exactly Route 1, but it was a lot less the beautiful game.
Yeah, and I think England I think the strategy against Spain is don't try to not let them score for as long as possible. And then at the end, it's like who has the mental state, the energy, the physicality to keep going. And that's why I was really impressed with Spain this time around, because England are a fairly physical team. Lucy Bronze with a wild-ass challenge that could have closely been a red card. There were a bunch of big tackles. And Spain, I thought, held their own. Even like small, like petite players, like Aitana Bonmatí, like getting sort of pushed around.
They didn't let them affect them.
But
I will say though, for a team that plays the way they do, they ran out of ideas. They really only focused on the right hand side. That was where most of the danger came from. Running the ball, kind of dribbling the ball towards the touchline, sending in a diagonal cross. That's where the header comes in. That's where most of their opportunities came. And honestly, outside of that, I really didn't see them trying to really go central. And maybe it was the defensive prowess of England,
England
of the Lionesses.
And we could speak to Jess Carter, who had, you know, terrible early moments in the tournament, dealing with racist abuse and all this stuff online.
Yeah, how do those racists feel now? Y'all won.
Right? So she had a fantastic final.
She did.
And really just like just cleaned up the mistakes. And that's really what they needed from her. She played in different positions and did everything necessary. She wasn't. The England throughout the tournament weren't fancy by any means.
Not at all.
Especially in the knockout stage, they were just like, "How do we win this game? What do we got to do?" A lot of grit, and that was just enough over Spain. Spain possession, beautiful passes, great first touches, and everything, but they weren't clinical, couldn't finish. And if you keep a team like England around that has that kind of grit and heart, it's going to be tough to put them away. And then they ended up doing it in penalties. So congrats to England again, a second Euro. More than anything, it's like from the bigger picture, you hope it moves the sport forward.
The fact that they've won it twice in a row, and you see the scenes at Box Park or the multiple Box Parks and, you know, the fan zones and people doing watch parties across the U.S. as well, especially in England, it adds much more validity to the women's game that we already know is there. And, you know, fans of the sport already know it's there. But it's that core of group of people, men and women, who are unsure yet if they want to commit to being a fan of the women's game. This shows that they should, especially considering most of those players play in England.
Yeah, I'm generally annoyed. And this is the last thing I'll say about this is because every big tournament, We have to entertain.
Oh, now do you take it serious?
Not even that. No, but we have to entertain the people that are like, why is women's football being shoved down my throat and blah blah blah, and like on those like British like news shows that people
talk sport.
There's like Talk Sport, but there's like another like more like legitimate one. I forgot LBC. I think it's called LB something. I forgot what it's called.
Oh, the one with the dude who claps back at all the all the Trumpers. Yeah, I love that guy.
Long Beach, California. Yeah.
So much drama in the LBC,
but then there's, you know, they have to entertain these people that
it's kind of hard being Chloe Kelly.
They have to entertain these people. And it's just like, bro, for people like us who are like, we love the game, we don't care who's playing it. It's just annoying that it's like, oh my God, these people again.
All right, but if you take a sliding scale, right, of like zero, like we'll say you know, 10 is us, right? We watch the sport, right?
Yeah.
We all in. We cool with it. We talk about women's sports the same way we would any other sport. And then you go to one, which we'll just call, I don't know, JD Vance, right? We'll just say that.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of people in that 5 to 7 range that aren't fully committed yet, but are like, oh, okay, maybe I'll watch. Maybe that slides them closer to 10.
I hope so. Yeah, yeah. Because it's like, what we sort of get are the people that are like
the threes and the twos,
or the people that are, if people were just like, I don't watch women's soccer, like I just don't watch it. That's not who we get. Those are not the loud people. It's like, I hate that women are doing things on my TV.
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't watch it because I don't like low quality football.
These are the people that get platforms.
You have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah.
Those are the people I can't stand. Anyway. That's a whole other podcast. We'll get to that some other day.
We'll do that on the Patreon.
All right. We're gonna run that back right after this because there's been Messi got suspended. We gotta check if Morgan Gibbs-White is okay.
blink if you're okay.
So we'll do that right after this.
All right, welcome back. Let's talk a little bit about the All-Star Game, because do we even need it anymore? Huh? Is there even a need for the MLS All-Star Game now that Messi has decided he don't want to play in it? And now he's going to get, he got a one-game suspension after that. So we got to talk about the future of that, and that is that today's Run It Back.
All right, so we were talking to Landon. So we recorded that before the Messi's suspension was announced. So we weren't sure what was going to happen. So now the confirmation, him and Alba were suspended for the game against FC Cincinnati. That game was at home for Inter Miami. I think this is I'm not going to say turning point or just a pivotal moment for Major League Soccer. And I think they made the right decision. You just set a standard of,
you don't think it's performative at all?
They applied the rule to Zlatan Ibrahimovic. He was upset about it. I don't think it should be any different for Lionel Messi or Jordi Alba or any player that wants to skip the All-Star game.
I think it's a little silly to say you don't want to play in that game. Well, now here's two games you don't play in. You know what I mean?
The All-Star game and another one. Yes.
So the reason that you get fined or you get the reason this is an issue is because the fans who pay good money to go see the All-Star game didn't get to see Messi. So to punish Messi, the other group of fans that paid to see Messi don't get to see Messi as well?
But whose fault is it? It's Messi's fault. It's Inter Miami's fault. I mean, I understand that is the punishment, but
he should have to play an extra game. That's a real punishment.
It's a fair punishment because it's easy to get out of the All-Star game if you're Lionel Messi. You just have to just say, hey, my ankle, just Donnie, I'm just not feeling.
You know how you cough when your ankle hurts?
I got COVID in the ankle.
Damn.
Ankle COVID. We all know this.
It's cankle is the official. Cankle 19.
I think it would have set a bad precedent for MLS. If the All-Star game is going to be an important thing and it's something that... And the point you made...
So you think he should have played?
100% he should have played. He should have just, done the job. Just like Landon was talking about, David Beckham flying back to the U.S. To go do his All-Star duties and then go back to England to continue on, I think, in the Olympics and stuff like that. So it's
Do
not,
you care about the All-Star game?
It's not about caring about
do
it.
Do you care about the All-Star game?
I care about it to not in the, like... You know, I'm mad if somebody doesn't play. But I care about it in the sense that I'm a diehard MLS supporter and fan.
Sure.
And I appreciate the community aspect that the All-Star game brings. And it allows fans of all the other teams, of all the teams, to be in one place at the same time, which is not really a thing that exists in any other soccer or football league, right? So that part of it is like, I like that part. And that community aspect is something that I think could be highlighted a lot more. If Lionel Messi is there, that brings in a lot of new people that could possibly just get to experience that community aspect and fun and little. They do charity stuff and they have activations and games for kids. And it's like a cool little thing for like kids or whatever. I understand it's not the most fun for players that have been playing a lot of minutes this season. So I understand why you wouldn't want to play, but it's you signed a deal with MLS. You are paid handsomely. You have been playing a whole lot of matches.
And this is
you
my argument.
You would have played 5 minutes
And everybody would have been like, okay, well, we got to see him. And that would have been, for a lot of kids that were there, they would have been like, I can't believe I got to see Lionel Messi
play. I don't
play.
Disagree with you. I'm, again, also a diehard fan of this league. I'm season ticket holders for now a decade. You know, I absolutely love the fact that they have an all-star game. I don't know what the validity of it is moving forward. If you're not going to have it baked in the contract where, yo, you have to understand, if you're MLS, you have to say to Lionel Messi, yo, it's really important. You're going to get voted in every single time.
Right.
Even if you play horrifically, okay? If you play with blinders on for most of the season, even if you've not scored a goal, your name will rise to the top every single time. You have to play in this. This is a marketing opportunity for the league. I don't think enough was done for this All-Star game to be that. It should have been on national television. It should not have been behind a paywall. If you're going to do Liga MX versus MLS, shine a brighter light on who the other players are that are coming in, because the players that are currently in your All-Star team are not selling tickets as it is now, other than Lionel Messi, maybe Jordi Alba, sure. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, these aren't guys that are bringing ass to the seats. They're making teams better. They're doing the right thing, right? They're raising the level and the quality of the league. Absolutely. But they're certainly not marketable names, right? Where by themselves, they sell tickets outside of Messi. If this is the guy that will bring that much of a spotlight to your league, then by all means, it needs to be made really evident to them. Maybe take the game off beforehand. And I understand that that's important in the grand scheme of things. But take the game off beforehand or come out a little early so that you can play in this, what really is a marketing boondoggle. That's really all it is. It's a big marketing showcase.
Yeah, yeah.
It's bright lights, big, you know, it's a friendly, right? It's not an important game. Or add weight to it. Say whoever wins this, whether it's, you know, if we're doing MLS, imagine it was East versus West, you would get the home game.
In the final.
In the final. You know what I mean? Do something where there's weight to it so that it's important. It's what baseball did. They didn't do that for Messi. So Messi taking it off, of course, this in his career.
They also rescinded that. They don't do that anymore.
But they did it at one point.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is they made it important in a way. If all of a sudden, if you're Lionel Messi, there's nothing in your history, in your career that says this is something that's happened. I should take this seriously.
But
and you can make an argument that what you think he's doing by playing in the All-Star game, outside of to the group of people that are in that stadium, outside of that, because they certainly did pay to probably see Messi, at least not overwhelming, not 100%, at least overwhelmingly, he already is doing all the things that you want him to do in that game by virtue of being in the league. He's already making, you know, kids more interested in the league, and it's a fun night out. And, you know, Jorge Mas made a great point. Every game they play is an All-Star game. Do we have his full quote? The Jorge Mas?
Yeah.
Because he kind of made a good point, which is like, we are the traveling circus already. You know what I mean? We are the bright lights. We are the big tent. Inter Miami managing owner Jorge Mas on Lionel Messi's suspension when asked about contract talks. By the way, this is a tweet from Tom Bogert. He quotes him as saying, Lionel Messi is extremely upset. I'm hopeful it doesn't have an impact long term. Will it have an impact on Messi's perception of the league and its rules? No doubt.
See, but this is the thing about Messi being extremely upset where I don't have that much sympathy there. He knew what the consequence would
be. Here's why this is important. Jorge Mas is talking from a business perspective. Yeah, we're in the middle of contract negotiations to extend him in this league. He might not be.
Well, then, but MLS has to stand on business.
So then was it worth it? Suspending him for a game and then losing him completely? Was it worth it?
Maybe not, but it's still, if you set the wrong precedent, what does it say to the other players? Then other players are not maybe want to skip out on the All-Star game. They're going to be, oh, well, Messi didn't get suspended. And then this becomes a problem that you're dealing with if you still want to do an All-Star game. Otherwise, if this breaks just having an All-Star game altogether, maybe that is what it does. Maybe we don't need an All-Star game at all.
Said you cared about it, though.
I do care about it. So I'm not saying, I'm just saying, but MLS has no choice. They have no choice. They can say, yes, oh, pretty please, Messi.
Why not a fake fine?
Don't follow our rules or whatever. But they know the consequences already there.
What a pretend fine. Why suspend
NBA,
them?
MLB, they all have the same rule.
But listen, why not pretend it's a
maybe,
fine?
Maybe, but that's not the rule that was in place.
He was fined an undisclosed amount.
He knew what the consequence would be, and now is mad that the consequence came. That's ridiculous. Just say, hey, I'm really exhausted. I couldn't play. What are you mad about? This is all obviously, Jorge Mas, I guess it's his quote. So I don't know exactly how to interpret that. I think it's a little bit for show of like,
he's so mad. You might lose him. It's a threat. It's effectively a threat.
Okay, but then in this case, should we not give a little level of importance to this threat? Because Jorge Mas and this whole experiment has had to jump through hoops so that they can make Inter Miami as strong a team as they want. Why? Why are we doing this with these rules? Why is MLS saying like, no, we have 3DP? Who gives a shit?
That's another conversation.
This is part of this conversation. This is part of Jorge Mas wanting to make his team bigger and better.
Maybe this is what.
Why are we kowtowing to these stupid rules? Where you didn't want to take part in the All-Star game. Messi is bigger than MLS. We should probably go, okay, Messi, why is this All-Star game not important to you? And then whatever he says, make those applicable changes.
I mean, but then you're acquiescing to one player
who's bigger than the league.
But that will only be in the league for, another 2 years?
You don't think there's a large group of players that probably agree with him? That we're saying, here's someone who could essentially be a spokesperson for the top tier, the most elite level of players. And if he's saying the All-Star game, I would play in it if it was blank, blank, blank. Maybe you can't implement all of that, but we should probably listen.
I don't even think Messi would give his perspective like that of what the business of Major League Soccer should do and how to handle this. So I don't think you should acquiesce to one player.
If you simply say, what would make you want to do this more?
Sure, I'm sure that he could give...
Like when my wife invites me to family parties and I'm like, I don't want to go to that. And she's like, what would make you want to go? If I was like, bro, if there was like a hot dog station, I'd go. And then all of a sudden, at the funeral, there's a hot dog station. You don't think all of a sudden they're like, in a way, I kind of got what I wanted?
Okay, I mean, just...
But... This is how Nan would have wanted it, dude, what I'm saying.
Why is the...
She was a Glizzy fan, dog. She was... A habitual glizzy eater, dog.
The person in the casket is actually just in a 7-Eleven heating thing.
Nan's holding one of those mustard ketchup barbecue sauce dispensers.
She just wants to make sure that everybody has a good time.
What is wrong with you? This is how she wanted it. Honor her life, dude.
So look, I don't think we're necessarily going to agree. I think there's even Messi's bigger than the league, but... He is not bigger than the concept of his peers, the other players. So everybody else, he's going to be in the league for a little bit. I don't think we should say, let's do whatever Messi does. I think this is the right move because it sets a tone and it says, hey, if the All-Star game is going to be a thing that we do, this is how we get players to play in it.
Here's the tone it sets. Hey, other superstars and elite players, don't come here if you're not going to play in the All-Star game because we're going to punish you. This is stupid. And if this is the reason you lose Lionel Messi, then it was all we were all worse off.
Realistically,
the sport in this country is worse off if we lose Messi because of the goddamn All-Star game.
They get paid more than the other players.
Uh-huh.
And they get a day off.
Then put it in their 2 days off.
2 days off.
Put it in their contract.
I don't think this is going to deter anybody. Money speaks louder than anything.
To Saudi.
Okay. All right.
They don't have an All-Star game. Is that
who are you getting paid from?
Ridiculous YouTube. He's on to us.
All right. Let's also run that back with Morgan Gibbs-White because this has been another. A very odd story. So if people are not aware, Morgan's White of Nottingham Forest, he was gone.
He got here we go'd
to Tottenham Hotspur. Everybody was pretty excited. And then a couple days after that, there is news.
Look at this.
Yeah. Fabrizio.
That is a full here we go.
Fabrizio hit him with the full here we go.
They photoshopped him in a Tottenham shirt, and that is the only time you'll see him in a Tottenham shirt.
So, enjoy it, Tottenham fans. A couple days later, read the tweet: Morgan Gibbs-White to Tottenham. Here we go. Spurs trigger 60 million pound release clause after direct contact with Forest today.
60 million is an important number. We'll get back to that.
Exactly. So, medical booked and set to take place in 24 hours. So when Fabrizio hit you with here we go, it's pretty much set. It's set in stone.
Yeah, I think as a society we've taken it that way. But I think a lot of times what happens is whatever reporters are known to report on those teams, they'll tweet it out. They don't have the platform that he does.
Right, right.
So then he sort of, by him doing it, it lets the whole world know, it's officially official.
Exactly.
And that's how we've known it for years.
Right.
Except...
now.
So a couple days after that, Morgan Gibbs-White announced he's signing a new contract with Nottingham Forest.
He said, here we don't.
Here we do not go.
No, here we stay.
Here we stay. We stay.
Damn.
Here we stay put.
Yeah. And I'm totally happy about it.
So not, I mean, Fabrizio has been wrong in the past. And as other journalists, it happens. Like, yeah, you know, people change their mind. Sometimes people want something from the hot dog station. And then say, hey,
maybe I just don't want because Nana's holding, you know, maybe I'm if the dead woman wasn't holding the mustard.
I'm not comfortable with this. Yeah. Nana would have been upset
yeah,
if she were alive.
I don't think you're respecting her legacy. But, is what I'm saying.
You know, we're going to respect. So he changed his mind. So. These are
the casket has a button that goes, hey, yo, every time you take a bite of the hot dog.
So just to give some context, this is what we're hearing. All of it sort of alleged. But Morgan Gibbs-White, you saw in the earlier tweet, £60 million release clause. Apparently, that release clause was secret. No one knew about that.
It's just in his contract.
It's just in his contract.
How did Tottenham find out about that?
Tottenham found the number and said, yo, Nottingham, 60 mil, we got him. Let me know.
We heard
from
this was the number.
So apparently that number was secret. That was not told to anybody. They weren't, clearly Nottingham Forest weren't trying to shop him around or sell him. So the fact that Tottenham made this offer and put down the money for the release clause, this apparently infuriated Nottingham Forest and the owner.
Angelinos Marinakis, a.k.a. me in the future or possibly my dad.
Okay.
Knowing what's about to happen, the story we're telling you might possibly be my dad, by the way.
So so the new contract for Morgan Gibbs-White happens, and then they do like an announcement video of him excited about the new contract. So let's take a look at that right now.
I'm delighted. So thank you to Mr. Marinakis for believing in me. I feel like we've been on a roller coaster of a journey, but I've felt the love instantly from the very first moment I stepped into the doors. We've had difficult times, but we've had a lot of highs. And last year was really, really exciting. We got to showcase what we're about and what we're trying to build as a team. And I feel like Mr. Marinakis is the base of that. So I was delighted to sign.
I think this new contract really shows the ambition, not just of yourself, but of Mr. Marinakis here as well. That ambition must just drive through the dressing room, right?
100%. And you know, Mr. Marinakis is the main reason for that. We've built that culture inside the dressing room, and I feel like that's what strived us all the way through. The manager's been incredible since he's come in, the fans as well. The fans have been absolutely amazing.
I mean that.
I mean,
I just want to, before we keep going, I just want to thank Mr. Marinakis.
thank you, Mr. Marinakis, for allowing us to do this podcast. So really, do this segment.
Yeah. Also for being an inspiration to who I want to grow up to be. Christian, would you rather be loved or feared?
I mean, that's a Marinakis question, bro. Before he signs any player,
he's like, both.
But look. A couple notes, and I think if somebody was, you know how people analyze like hostage videos or like, you know, they get like psychologists to watch.
Body language videos. Yeah.
I mean, Morgan Gibbs-White looked down like at the ground, maybe like in that, just that one clip, maybe like 12 times.
Yeah, because he knows if he looked at the camera, would have said, help me. I think at the end of the day, you have to look. It's all speculation, right? We don't know. But when you line this all up, it really makes it look like, you know, the lock the door and I use can leave.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
As soon as the video starts and he's like, it's all thanks to Mr. Marinakis. And we got to get a still of Marinakis' face just looking at him. He's not even turning his torso to Gibbs-White. He's just like.
He's looking at him like, reading the script I gave you. Ain't so tough now, are you?
You know, you want to go blabbing?
You want to go snitching on your value?
I saw somebody on TikTok. They basically compiled a, like, if you scroll through Nottingham Forest's Twitter, you can see that they mention Evangelos Marinakis quite a bit.
Mr. Marinakis.
Okay. Yeah. He has mentioned, he as far as his association and connection with the club. You know how some owners are just like, hey, I'm going to take a back seat. Hey,
don't even mention me,
Don't even mention me. This is all about the manager, the player, the staff.
It's about you, bro. You playing this. About me, no.
Marinakis is the
It's the opposite. It's like, y'all wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my dime, dude.
My man is holding Morgan Gibbs-White's like just arm in place. He's just like, hey, you ain't going anywhere. Uh-huh. Hey, say something nice for the camera.
Let them know you're happy here.
Hey, you no problems here, right?
We're trying to sign all the players.
So, it's hard for it to not feel a little mafia-esque.
Right. The thoughts of Christian Polanco are those solely of Christian Polanco.
Mafia doesn't exist anymore.
I never existed to begin with. What are you talking about?
Antiquated.
There's a couple of guys working in waste management trying to do good for the family and provide.
that's all. Uh-huh. But you see the authority. Yeah, and you saw it on the pitch with Marinakis. Arguing with in the last game of the season, he was arguing with Nuno. Clearly, this is nothing new. And this is how he wants to run his club.
Yeah, I like that. Right now, Olympiacos players are watching, going, "Oh, they just got this. We've had this in our league for years."
Exactly. But no, hilarious. Marinakis. So.
And also, I want to congratulate Morgan Gibbs-White. He just announced that he's changing his name to Morgan Gibbs-White Marinakis.
Oh,
so
love it. So many hyphens.
There's a lot of dashes.
So feel bad for him filling out paperwork. It's gonna be brutal.
There's not enough squares for my last name.
Yeah, even just the Marinakis is a lot of, letters. All right,
it's a perfect amount of letters. Is what I'm saying, Marinakis.
All right. Another run that back in the books. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of the Cooligans. Shout out to Landon Donovan, LD himself.
LD, bro.
El Diablo.
Hey.
Okay.
Dominican Day Parade was this weekend.
That's right.
Did you go?
I did not go. Nah. I haven't gone since I was probably like 9 years old.
That's a shame.
I'm sure I'm missing.
I was close by.
Okay. I'm sure all our fans celebrated. Thank you. Make sure you follow us everywhere at Soccer Cooligans. Hit like on this video on YouTube and hit subscribe if you have not already, which is crazy. There's something like, you know, it's something like the percentage of viewers that watch our video are like, you know, I think it's like 80% not subscribed.
Not subscribe. Hit the subscribe button. It changes everything.
It changes your life.
Damn.
Okay. Everything will get better.
And I know you're thinking like, whatever, the algorithm shows it to me. Anyway, bro, it helps us.
Exactly. It makes us feel good.
Imagine we were Angelinos. Wouldn't you want to help us out?
The little number on YouTube goes up and it makes us feel good. So why don't you help us out with that?
Helps us pay for all this.
All right. We'll be back on Thursday with a brand new app. But do we have a guest on that day? I don't think so, right? No guest that day.
Oh.
Anyway.
Love spilling the beans.
But we got a hot show on Thursday coming up as well. So we'll see you then. Everybody, take care. Enjoy the next 3 days. Peace.
Love you guys.